You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Leaving work in a mood? Time to change that with Overdrive.
Hugh is going to wear a golf
just
shirt.
Just a Speedo down in South Beach on off days, watching the ponies with a cigar.
And a mustache. Yeah. Always with a mustache.
Him and Taddy are probably the most famous mustache people I know.
I think so.
Am I missing somebody else? I mean,
maybe Keith Hernandez?
I'm Keith Hernandez.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app, soon to be up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Israel Gutierrez of the NBA on ESPN will join us in a few moments. The Raptors wrapping up the regular season tonight in Minnesota and still waiting to find out who they're going to play in the first round. And
you want Detroit? Do you want to go right at
I think Dwayne that would Casey? Be, I mean, from a content perspective, there'd be a lot of different angles.
Yes.
But I don't think they can meet Detroit anymore. I guess still technically they're in the running there, but it feels like it's either going to be Brooklyn or Orlando.
Right.
But we'll find out, you know. And tonight for the Raptors, you know, we said this off the top of the show, just survive.
Yeah.
Who cares if you get blown out? Like, it's no different than the Maple Leafs last Saturday.
Yeah, just you wanted to get through the game.
Just survive it. You're obligated to play.
Yep.
You're going to have your lineup. Guys have to go out there. You can't bubble wrap players. You have to play.
I know, but you know what it's like. Third quarter, guy goes up for a jumper and, like, comes down on, like, steps on a guy's foot and rolls his ankle.
That's the worst-case scenario.
You don't want that to happen.
That's all you're trying to avoid tonight. This isn't about a tune-up, you know.
No.
Even with the Leafs, like, I thought there was a bit of an overreaction. Was it an ugly game on Saturday? Yes. It was a glorified pond hockey game. Both teams were like, get me out of here. But did I – put it this way. Let's say the Leafs held them to 14 shots and won 3-0. Would I all of a sudden be like, oh, they're going to smoke Boston now? Nothing was going to change the way I feel about them going up against Boston based on that game last Saturday against Montreal. And the same thing applies tonight. You know, the Raptors, I'm going to feel good. If they lose by 50 tonight, it doesn't matter. As long as they stay healthy. Get out of here with your health.
I agree.
That's all that matters tonight.
It just, you never want, as an athlete, to go in. You're only as good as your last game. I hate that saying, but it is true. Like, if it's in the back of your mind, like, I stunk on Saturday. You wanna have a little bit more as far as confidence. Now, players are confident in their own ability. It's not going to affect really. But even if it's 5%, I remember saying this to you after the NHL All-Star game. Now, John Gibson was brilliant right up to that. And remember he got rinsed in the All-Star game? It was bad. Like, I don't even know if you watched it, but he allowed
But I remember that.
First, like, 7 minutes, he allowed, like, 8 goals. And I remember thinking, Anaheim's going to fall apart anyways. They're not a very strong team. They had so many injuries. And Gibson was the only thing keeping them together. And I remember saying to myself, and I may even said it on this show, even if it's a 5%, that this guy's confidence got hurt a little bit because of that rinsing. It's 5% that Anaheim couldn't afford. And I go back to last Saturday. I couldn't care less about Frederik Andersen, what he allowed. I cared about his psyche, and I cared about his health. And we got a little scared with his health.
Right, but on the flip side of that, can you gain confidence?
I think,
like, can you gain 5% confidence?
I think you can, as far as just, hey, like, he was building it. You know, the game against Tampa Bay, I thought he was strong, like, looked really good positionally.
The Islander game.
I think what you are is building that timing and that groove, and you don't want to get out of it. That's why I was fine that he went through his whole game day routine. He went through warm-up. He got his head wrapped around having to play that night, looked at his positioning. I was fine with it. That's why halfway through the game, when there was a little threat to his health, get him out of there, because it's not going to affect the next 30 minutes in that game. Was not going to affect the way he played, is going to play Thursday night in Boston. But a lot of times, when I was working with Mika Kiprusoff, for example, preseason was all about the process. It wasn't about the result. The process was getting ready for the game, the stretching routine, your mental psyche, all of that stuff, your positioning on the ice. However it happened on the result, I didn't care about. and I don't think he cared about it. I don't think Frederick Anderson was heartbroken on the plane home after Saturday night that they lost in a shootout. And I don't think he...
Well, you're not even playing shootouts anymore.
Right,
like,
exactly.
That's another thing. That was just... That's you may as well window. Have put in Hutchinson for the shootout.
Yeah,
because done. By that point, you're like, we're not doing this ever again. Not this year, anyway.
For this year, yeah. You're right. It just... But that's he made it through the game. The Raptors will make it through the game, knock on wood for them, and then we get on with the real thing.
Yeah, then we'll find out who they play.
Exactly.
And we still don't know what the schedule is going to look like. I think it's coming out. It'll probably start leaking out Wednesday night. Somehow Wojnarowski will have it, you know, before because you know the season officially wraps up tomorrow night in the NBA.
He'll have it 5 minutes after.
5 minutes after the final buzzer, he will have every detail of every series.
Yeah.
Laid out, but I think it's supposed to officially come out on Thursday. I think they'll play game one likely Saturday, maybe Sunday.
They're going to want prime dates. They're going to want...
But they're not playing game two until Tuesday because the Leafs are playing game three at home on Monday night. The Leafs are playing every other night, which I was a little bit surprised by. I thought they were going to go Thursday, Saturday, Tuesday because I thought the Raptors would go Saturday, Monday.
I thought that was the... Weird that they're not weird, but they're going Friday, Sunday the following weekend.
They're going every other night.
Which,
but because the Celtics are at home, they're in the playoffs playing, and the Raptors are playing, right?
No, you're
so,
right.
So you got four different pro teams in two buildings, they're trying to work.
They're not going to work around our schedule, but it seemed like they were going to get some Saturday nights, and in the playoffs, it doesn't matter. It's just about building availability.
Exactly. It would be ideal if both commissioners considered what we want.
Yeah.
Before they actually knocked out.
Exactly.
Both schedules. I mean, that would make a lot of sense, but
for sure.
Sadly, that's not the way it works. Here's Israel Gutierrez of the NBA on ESPN. How you doing, Israel?
Doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing well. The Raptors, you know, for us tonight, we've been talking about it throughout the afternoon. They wrap up their season in Minnesota, and neither team playing for anything. The Raptors are locked in the two seed. Minnesota's done. Are you surprised? It sounds like they're going to lay out, you know, their whole roster. I don't think anyone's going to play 40 minutes tonight. But if you're Nick Nurse, you know, how cautious would you be in terms of a game plan and minutes being dispersed this evening?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they've gone this whole year being cautious with Kawhi, for example, just to ruin it all with the last game that doesn't mean anything. But you also want to have that balance of having some sort of rhythm going into the postseason. And, you know, you probably play them similar minutes just when they take their rest, maybe let it linger for another minute or two. And toward the end of the game, don't ever bring them back in late in the fourth. And you probably end up, you know, with your main guys playing around 20, 22 minutes. It's a smart way to go. You don't want to be overly cautious, but you don't want to risk any injury.
We've been doing kind of a pressure list thing here in Toronto with the Raptors and the Maple Leafs, both going into the playoffs. And yesterday we conflated the two, and we all had a top 10 list. And my two co-hosts, they both had Kawhi.
Yeah, Kawhi was
top 10 pretty high.
He was on my list.
You had him pretty high.
Yeah.
And Izzy, I got to be honest, I didn't have Kawhi in the top 10 in the city in terms of pressure because I don't think there is any pressure on this guy. They could get swept in the first round. He could be terrible all four games, and everyone in Toronto would still be begging him to re-sign. And if he doesn't re-sign and he leaves, what does he care about Toronto? How do you feel about the pressure on Kawhi?
I think there's a decent amount of pressure, but I don't think it's placed upon him by the people of Toronto. I think it's for his sort of basketball legacy. You know, obviously, forcing his way out of San Antonio, there's significant pressure for him to succeed as a number one guy and elevate a team to a certain level. And if he flames out in the first round with Toronto, then, you know, why is he significantly better than DeMar DeRozan? And I know... You know, you can make different arguments as to why, but the body of work would only just show, hey, he took on a team on his own and had a great roster around him and didn't succeed. And so I think whether he stays or goes, he wants this first year after that San Antonio experience to remind people why he is, you know, top three and MVP level player, not just some guy. And so, and even in Toronto, you know, if they want him back, they want a guy who can get this team to a championship. And again, not just another all-star. They've had all-stars up here. They've had, you know, up your way. They've had the most exciting player in the league for a few years. And so I think, you know, there is some some level of pressure to that on Kawhi.
With Israel Gutierrez of the NBA on ESPN, maybe the biggest news of the day is Giannis coming out, the Greek freak, and it went public that he turned down a role in Space Jam 2. And he's like, I'm not Hollywood. I don't want any of that drama. I'm not shutting down my, you know, off-season routine for 2 weeks to head out to Hollywood and shoot this. I got to think they're lapping that up. Like, they're eating it up in Milwaukee. And he feels like he's different. Like, he feels, it doesn't feel like lip service. It feels like this guy is legitimately committed to, you know, the Milwaukee lifestyle, so to speak. Are you buying it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm buying it just as much as, you know, people bought it with Tim Duncan or, you know, any of the guys in San Antonio. I think he's legit. Just look at the way he's taken care of himself for his body. I think he's gained about 50 pounds since, actually more than that, more like 70 pounds since he's gotten into the league. And, you know, look at his body in comparison to even some of the better stars in the league. Like, he is committed to this, and he wants all of the things that comes with being a superstar in the NBA. He wants the championships, he wants the MVPs, but he's also, you know, humble enough to know how to get there. And he's already proving, I doubt he'll win the MVP this year. I think James Harden will win it again, but he's already proving that he is the type of player that can take a team to a championship, and people would like to play with him. You know, I honestly believe a guy like Anthony Davis would play in Milwaukee for the chance to play with Giannis and win championships. I think people will. So I think he is a coach's dream. I just wish he was a shooting coach's dream, because if he could shoot some threes, he would really be unstoppable. But I guess everybody has to have an Achilles heel.
I want to bring it back to the Raps. On my list as well, as far as Kawhi, I had Nick Nurse. Now, Dwayne Casey wins Coach of the Year. They win 59 games. He has an opportunity to win 58. Regular season, not a big deal. But I've got this gut feeling that, you know, he's in there with Masai in the offseason saying, I can get this team to the next level if you make a couple moves. Do you think there's a lot of pressure on Nick Nurse with no LeBron James? Now they've got a team. They go and get Kawhi. They've got a couple other players that can help them get that next get to the next level. Is this a guy that has tremendous pressure on him from the outside, from outside of Toronto?
That one's tough for me, just because the way I look at it is, you know, I know you said from the outside, but it really just depends on how much Nick Nurse is going to feel. And I just don't think he's going to feel a lot of pressure here in the first year doing this. You know, if he does fail or if his team does fail, I don't think he's going to be labeled as, oh, just another failure. I don't think he's going to get labeled as that quickly. It obviously took Dwayne longer for the team to move on from him. I also don't know what his plans are, whether he wants to be this, you know, long-term coach and everything else. But I do think that, you know, outside of making it past the first round, I mean, if you look at these Eastern Conference second-round matchups, potentially, they're going to be great. And if you've got, you know, Philly and Toronto and then Celtics and Milwaukee in that second round, it doesn't matter what the result is. I don't think anybody's going to be shocked. So I think Nick probably feels the pressure to get out of the first round because, you know, Toronto has a little bit of PTSD with that. But in terms of, you know, winning a championship, showing he can win at a high level, I think he should get the, you know, the leeway that any new coaches would if, you know, it's their first experience there.
Always appreciate you finding time for us, Israel. Enjoy the playoffs. We'll do it again down the road.
All right, guys. Thanks.
There's Israel Gutierrez of ESPN, the NBA on ESPN. And
so it doesn't feel that Nick Nurse is under that much pressure.
Well, I mean, I think that's an objective take. I think that's a reasonable view that he's a rookie head coach.
Right.
I think there's two different schools of thought here, and it depends on where you're living. If you're in Toronto,
I was just saying that's localized here.
Exactly.
There's pressure.
There's 100% pressure. There's pressure on Nick Nurse because LeBron's not here. Kawhi might not be here in 3 months.
Right.
You got the gig.
Yeah, it's your...
The coach of the year got fired, and you were the one that took it over. And we weren't in those meetings, but you have to be confident in them. And I'm sure Nick Nurse said, I've got what it takes to get you over the top.
Yeah.
And so, you know, forget the pressure even from the media and from the fans. I mean, there's pressure in terms of who his guy is Masai Ujiri. You know, right. Masai, he was on the staff for a number of years, and then Masai gave him an opportunity, his first opportunity to be an NBA head coach. And if he can't get it done, you know, you talk about end of season reviews and having to explain yourself. He's going to have to explain himself to Masai Ujiri why he couldn't get it done.
Well, that's
pressure, man.
Masai may say to him, "You sat here a year ago and told me this was going to happen. This was going to happen." That's you're right. I think it's localized, but that's why I wanted to see what the perception outside of Toronto was, because
I think it's tempered.
It's tempered, but you're right. You lay it out there. We rookie coach and that, but we're living it in a bubble because there's no guarantee that Kawhi stays.
Well,
so the whole optics of this team changes.
Right. And you look at a guy like Budenholzer, who's the rookie head coach in Milwaukee. Now, he's been an NBA coach before, but I think Nick Nurse has way more pressure on him than Budenholzer. And Budenholzer's got the team with the better record, you know, first overall in the NBA. But because Milwaukee, they don't have any recent disappointment that's that glaring.
Right.
You know, they've been a playoff team for a couple of years, but no one had expectations.
Right.
Last year, no one thought they were actually going to win anything. And the Raptors, though, for the better part of 3 or 4 years, there's been an expectation. Like, you got to do it here.
Right.
50-plus wins. 59 a year ago. 57 or 58 this year.
Right.
So even though they're both technically rookie coaches with their respective teams, Budenholzer's got the better team based on the records, I think he's got way less pressure to perform than Nick Nurse because of the track record of the Raptors. Just because you're the new coach doesn't mean that the history of the team doesn't come along with you.
Yeah, you inherited that.
Exactly.
Plus, Nick Nurse was a part of that.
He was a part of the staff. Like,
he's not coming in new. He's a part of that scenario.
Darren Rovell just sent this tweet out that a William Hill sportsbook in Nevada just took an $85,000 wager on Tiger Woods to win the Masters.
Wow.
At 14-1. It pays out $1.19 million if he wins the Masters. I have him at 15-1.
You got him at 15 when you...
So I like my odds a little bit better. I put down, I think, 50 bucks.
I was going to say,
him.
You didn't put down 85K.
No, I put down 50 and I'm going to be sweating on Sunday if this guy's in contention. Can you imagine having 85 large on him?
I often wonder how guys get to like a weird number. Why is it 85? Is it like, is he rolling something else over? Like he won at the March Madness.
Right, it's house money, so I'm just going to lay it on the
throw
line.
Throw the 85 on to Tiger.
Well, did you hear about the Texas Tech future bet?
No.
Some guy, I think it was back in like October, he put like a decent amount of money. I don't remember exactly.
$500.
Yeah, well, I think it was more than that even, like $1,500 or something, $3,000.
Yeah.
On Texas Tech, like they have no history of being a basketball program. They turn out to be a 3 seed. They get all the way to the finals. But anyway, he put down, I want to say back in September, October, like $1,500 on them to win the dance, and it paid off over $300,000.
Wow.
And they lost in overtime last night.
Yeah.
And he kept the ticket, and he had like there were. Every round they got to, someone else was willing to buy the ticket off him.
Yeah.
You know, so like I think once they got to the Final Four, someone said, "I'll give you $60,000 for the ticket."
Yeah.
And he turned it down. He said, I've gone this far. I'm going to ride it out.
Might as well.
And they had the lead late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Virginia survived somehow, and then Virginia took off in overtime. It's
crazy. A lot
crazy.
Of talk about the refs.
Well,
yelling and screaming about the ref.
Also, the review process last night in overtime. You know, technically they got it right. It technically barely touched this guy's fingertips.
I know,
but it's disgusting that we turn that like it's.
And
it's
it took so long.
That focused and took that long, and you know, in the history of the sport, that's Texas Tech's ball. Yeah. But because we have review and we've got all different angles and 4K TV, it's Virginia's ball, and then the rest is history.
Yeah.
It's stupid. Tactically, they got it right, but it's dumb.
Yeah.
Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider, will be in studio. We'll get his take on Mike Babcock and what he had to say about Jake Gardner, what Bruce Cassidy had to say about how he's building his team leading up to game one, the draft lottery tonight, and Slava Voynov is back in the news as well.
Yeah.
Not very good news for him. We'll catch up with Bob McKenzie, and the O-Dog will be in studio. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. It is the NHL playoff preview show on TSN tonight. in the NHL draft lottery tonight, and our hockey insider, Bob McKenzie, is in studio.
I draft Bob McKenzie.
That's your draft
sit
pick.
Beside me. Absolutely.
Is that a first overall
He's
pick?
He's a first
or a
overall pick.
Diamond in the rough late
no,
in the draft.
No,
free
no,
agent
no.
Signer.
At a college. At a university, the Canadian way.
Yeah. I went in the juvenile draft.
Attaboy.
And we did some, what was it, the tankathon thing or whatever? Oh,
the draft lottery simulator?
Simulator. And there were some just bizarre scenarios, like Rangers, Buffalo.
Somebody was chirping you saying that you had to reset the field because that's why we got the Rangers three times in a row. I don't, I've never done that.
How would anybody even know that?
You've done the simulator on fun.
I've done it. But here's the thing. People, and I listen, I'm not very good at math, and I had to be taught this lesson a few years ago. But there's some people who think, okay, I'm going to run the simulator 100 times and see what happens. It doesn't matter. Each one is unique. It's random. So if you've got an 18.5% chance, it doesn't mean that if you do it 100 times, you're going to hit on 19. Yeah. What it means is you've got an 18.5% chance each time you hit the button and in descending order. So random.
Random.
It is
random. I think it's an entertaining event.
Oh, entertaining as hell.
Yeah, it's great.
And I'll be really curious to, you know, what year was it? 2 years ago, I guess, we had the most chaotic three years ago.
Jersey went from 5 to 1.
Jersey went from 5 to 1. Philly went from 13 to 2.
Yeah.
And Dallas went from 8 to 3. And everybody that was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and all the way through got pushed down three spots.
Yeah, that one was weird.
And you know why the Edmonton Oilers are the luckiest team in the lottery? That was the year they made the playoffs. They weren't in the lottery.
Right.
So the 1 year where if you were 1, 2, or 3, you were getting pushed down to 4, 5, and 6, the Oilers weren't in the lottery.
Isn't that crazy? Last year, Buffalo stayed 1. Carolina went 11-2.
Yes, that's
Montreal
right.
went 4-3.
People forget that. Like, Carolina got Svechnikov because they went from 11-2. And so we'll see what happens tonight. And, I mean, it's only been since 2016 that we've had the 1, 2, and 3 up for grabs in the lottery. So it's only been 3 years worth of that. So let's see what happens tonight.
Well, I think Joe Sakic is going to be the representing Colorado, right?
I believe so.
So, you know, we had this conversation in the previous hour how all these guys, they have to be so cool, calm, and collected, even though, you know, this is a truly groundbreaking moment
right.
for their whole organization. If you win the lottery, this is a franchise-altering maneuver, but they all have to play the role like, we wish we weren't here, we wish we were in the playoffs. He can't do that. His team's in the playoffs. Like, yeah. I know he's Burnaby Joe and he's not Mr. Yeah. Personality, but doesn't he have to give us a fist pump if they
no,
win
tonight? No, he should probably just smile a little.
But that's the thing. Like
he's got the best of both worlds.
But he's got to be careful, too. You don't want to be, like, could you imagine if he was like, yeah, thanks, Ottawa, thanks, Pierre. Like,
I'd love that.
We would love that. Yeah. It wouldn't be very nice to our friend Pierre Dorion.
Let's assume for a moment that three teams pushed everybody down. The 1, 2, and 3 teams end up 4, 5, and 6. It's actually not a bad year for that to happen because there are so many good centers available. So yeah, you're missing out on Jack Hughes, and that's huge. And Kako's not a center; he's a winger. Puz Cole's in the consensus third guy is a winger. But then you've got Kirby Dach from Saskatoon, 6'3", highly skilled playmaking center. And then you've got Dylan Cousins. You know, 6'2½", 200 pounds, hard driving, pro style center, and then you've got Alex Turcotte from the U.S. program, Trevor Zegras from the U.S. program. So, like 4 or 5 of the top 8 guys in this draft are centers. So, as long as you're picking in the top 7 or 8, you're going to end up with a really good center.
Is there one which team for you would lead to the most intrigue? Like, what's the best content? From a TSN perspective, which team winning tonight? It's like, whew, this is going to lead SportsCenter, and there's going to be
Montreal Canadiens.
You think the Habs?
Yeah. Well, they got 1% chance. Yeah. They're 15th, and they had 96 points. 96 points almost always gets you in the playoffs or close to it.
Right.
And they were obviously close, but no cigar. And that, could you imagine if the Montreal Canadiens?
I thought about that. I said in the previous hour, I thought Vancouver would be. You know,
Vancouver,
a very good one. Like just to have
Vancouver would be a big one because they, from the moment that they lost Gilbert Perreault and picked up Dale Talon on the spin of the wheel, Mr. Clarence, Mr. Campbell, they read the thing wrong, and they said Vancouver gets the first overall pick. And it was Punch Imlach, I believe, who said, Mr. Campbell, that's a 1, not an 11. There was a...
So it was like a Steve Harvey?
Yeah, maneuver? Basically, yeah.
Can you imagine?
And then they're like, oh, yeah, okay, sorry. Buffalo gets Gilbert Perreault and Vancouver gets Dale Talon. Wow. And ever since then, they've had tough luck in the lotteries. Although, even the year they got kabonged in the lottery, they were number 2 in 2 years ago. In that year when Jersey went from 5-1, Philly went from 13-2, and Dallas went from 8-3. And the poor Canucks were number 2, and they had to drop down to 5. Well, guess what? They got the best player in the draft at 5.
Elias Pettersson.
Yeah.
Now, what if they'd been picking 2? I'd be curious. There'll be some people in Vancouver who say Pettersson was our guy right from the get-go. But could you imagine if they ended up winning or not getting pushed down and they took a Nolan Patrick, who's a very good hockey player? But, I mean, you know.
Pettersson's
better. It's the Morgan Riley situation. Yeah. Same thing. Remember, the Leafs picked at 5, and they're like, if we had first, we were taking Morgan Riley.
Berkey was pretty...
He's adamant, but you can't challenge him on that.
Pretty
comfortable because you could say that about any... You know, you're picking 17th. I'm telling you, this is the guy we would have taken first overall.
Who we all trust, he says the same thing.
It is interesting because if he did it again, they'd probably take Morgan.
Yeah, in retrospect, because that was Yakupov, Murray, Galchenyuk went 3, Reinhardt went 4.
Yeah, probably taking Riley again.
Yeah, there's a good player right after them. I can't remember who it was.
Hampus Lindholm, I think.
Was it Lindholm? That
yeah,
went
it was
6?
A defenseman.
I think, yeah.
It wasn't Provorov.
There were some good defensemen.
There were some good players there, but Morgan Riley, I mean.
Yeah.
Ultimately, Riley's
you're not complaining about that pick.
No, he's an Norris finalist, potentially.
Absolutely.
Do
we have the clip from Babcock about Jake Gardner? I want to get your take on this, Bob. He was Gardner, you know, game 7 last year. We all know what happened and the injury problems, but he's back now. Here's what Mike Babcock said earlier today about Jake Gardner.
What he did is he came out and he said to the media he had a tough game 7. So then they ran with that for a while. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, we all lost. We were all there. You know, so I think Jake Gardner's a really good player. I think he's someone that people have decided isn't a good player, and so they pick on him. I can tell you right now, we can't find another one. So, hang on. I'm not finished yet. Thanks. So, I guess the way I look at it is real simple for me. I think he's a good player, and I'm going to play him a lot. How's that?
So, I love the idea that the media ran with him having a bad game. He didn't just have a bad game. He was brutal. But it was a creation.
But, I mean, Freddie wasn't good in that game. No. Jake wasn't good in that game. And
Well, and the Leafs were up going into the third period. It's not just a two-man show.
Exactly.
No, it's not. It's a team. But it wasn't a creation.
Yeah.
There was a glaring circle around those two.
But when he says we can't find another one, does he mean, like, right now? Or is he talking in general, like, July 1st? And
probably both. Probably both. Right now they can't. Then they, you know, they missed him when he was out, and I guess what he's saying is immediate replacement. You know, Travis Dermott could grow into that role, and Rasmus Sandin might grow into that role. But in terms of if Jake Gardner walks out the door, as we expect him to on July 1, there's a hole.
Yeah, I was just I said, and I agree because I think those guys don't grow on trees in unrestricted free agency. Who are you going to spend $6 million on that would be an either upgrade on Jake Gardner or close to it?
And that's the thing, though, is you don't have the you don't have the financial flexibility unless you really start to pull a lot of strings.
Isn't that the biggest concern, Bobby, going forward? I mean, they talk about the build and the plan. Like, how are they going to be able to supplement this group going forward?
It's going to be Dermott and it's going to be Callie Rosen.
But it's not like you're stepping outside.
It's going to be Rasmus Sandin. It's going to be difficult because you've got so many guys to get signed. You got to get Marner signed. You got to do Johnsson. You got to do Kapanen. You know, right now, and you know, Babcock, he might flip if they are not able to bring Ron Hainsey back. Because you know how many minutes he gets to play on Mike Babcock's scheme of things. So, like, whatever configuration you use, when all the Leaf defensemen are healthy, 2 of their top 4D will not be back. Or may not be back because of the financial implications.
Right.
Now, who knows? Maybe they'll be able to go to Hainsey and say, listen, you know, we want you back, and here's a one-year deal for X number of dollars. Do you want to stay? I don't know. But the point being is Babcock relies heavily on Ron Hainsey and Jake Gardiner and Morgan Riley and Nikita Zaitsev. And potentially two of those four guys are going to free agency and may not be back. So you got to backfill. And there are those who would suggest that if the Leafs need if they can find a market for Zaitsev, that might be a way where they might be able to replace him with somebody cheaper who can do what he can do, that allows them to take some of that money that's earmarked for him for other guys on the team, be it Johnsen, Kapanen, Marner, whomever.
Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider in studio. So Joel Quenneville, he locks up in Florida. Obviously a huge get for them, but there's still a lot of vacancies throughout the league. And this Todd McClellan stuff is kind of interesting.
He's in Buffalo today.
Buffalo.
Talking to the Sabres.
Okay. Does that mean LA's out?
No. The last we heard, and I haven't checked anything in the last few hours here, but the last we heard, door was still open to the Kings, door still open to Buffalo. And some people think that maybe he'd prefer to go to Buffalo. We'll see. And we'll have a better handle, I would think, in the next 24 hours, if not sooner.
I wonder if he's watching the draft lottery and Buffalo gets the first pick.
Or L.A., for that matter.
Or L.A. I mean, that I don't know if Hughes would swing it, but it certainly may not look that bad. I mean, if somehow Buffalo got Hughes.
What if Florida got him?
Q?
Imagine Quenneville and Hughes over the course of 3 days.
That's pretty good.
For the organization.
It'd be good for their organization.
Then
for sure.
Toss in Bob Panarin.
No kidding. I mean, they got a 2% chance, but still.
Yeah, Buffalo. McClellan was going to be in Buffalo no matter what because his son Tyson plays for Denver University and they're in the Frozen Four, so they play on Thursday. But he just accelerated his trip to Buffalo by a day so he could meet with the Sabres management and ownership.
Was talking to a guy here at TSN about Edmonton's situation because, you know, maybe they want to interview someone that maybe has a team that's currently playing in the playoffs.
Kelly McCrimmon.
And maybe Vegas isn't going to allow you to talk to him, although I don't... Why would they not allow him to talk?
Like focus on the playoffs.
But what's he doing during the playoffs?
Well, he's...
Like as an assistant GM.
Yeah, part of the group.
I don't disagree with that theory. It's like your team's in. You're all in. Yeah. Nobody lose focus of anything.
But what's he doing?
But not to mention...
McCrimmon's not doing anything.
But he's going to the game. Like, he can't be going to the game that night and be like, yeah, I had a
Why
conversation.
Why not? They do it in the NFL. Like, Super Bowl week.
They are ridiculous.
Super Bowl week. It's because out of respect to your employee, if you're moving on up, go do it. And then you're back. But why not? What's Kelly McCrimmon doing right now?
Well, Kelly almost came across the table at Hayes in Vegas. I don't know if you heard this story, because we had a very nice conversation at ESPN.
Deportes. Right, in Vegas.
He always does it, though. It'll all be good, and then he'll dig for something, and the other guy's
at the last second, he's like, what did you say?
Leafs. Remember the reports that the Leafs had offered him a gig?
All right.
I just want to ask him, is there any truth? Can you confirm or deny? And he went Fergie on me, basically.
I can neither confirm or deny that.
That's basically what he said. And then he wanted to come over the table, because I circled back.
Yeah, you wouldn't let him off the hook.
Yeah.
Don't mess around with the Prairie guys.
Yeah. I know.
Craig's.
When the switch goes.
The old
Toronto in me got pretty scared pretty quickly. But, you know, in all seriousness, I get what you guys are saying, but if he can get an upgrade, if he wants the job, I don't know if Edmonton would give it to him, but what's he doing?
See, and the other thing is, and it's a hard one for Vegas because... You know, Kelly McCrimmon's a really important guy in their organization. So in terms of their overall draft, in terms of the plan for free agency, in terms of all those things, he's as good as it gets, like George McPhee's right-hand guy. Yeah. So, like...
You think they ever raise the dollars where he would never want to go, or is it that drive to be the main guy?
It's kind of a walking the fine line between, we don't want to hold you back, but you've got all the info. Basically, everything we've done this year has funneled through you.
Yeah.
And now when the season ends, whenever that is for Vegas, now we've got to go to the draft and we've got to go to free agency and we've got to do all these things. And the guy who everything funneled through all year, you're not here anymore. Now you're a resource for somebody in our division.
Yeah. I wouldn't let him go. I wouldn't let him interview until after the draft.
That's what a lot of people...
He's going to be at the draft table.
Well, but remember Rick Dudley? He did that with the Leafs. He took a job with the Habs.
Yeah.
And they let him go.
I believe Mark Bergevin allowed him to go to Carolina.
Carolina.
Same situation where he knew what they were going
to
do.
But I guess really what I was trying to get to anyway was if Edmonton screwed, if that's the case. Imagine if you're Vegas, you're like, you can have him, but on July 2nd.
Yeah,
well, they got a draft.
Well, they have to work the buyout window. They've got so many things to do.
You got
to
get someone hired.
True enough.
They could mess with them, but I would imagine.
Jordan I think McPhee it's once would, Vegas is done, there's probably, that'd be my guess, but we'll see.
Well, and then the coach, too, is the next step for Edmonton.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you got to get a general manager first. So don't even worry about the coach.
Yeah, well, he's not doing anything until next September, really, anyway, but.
Yeah.
All right, Bob. We'll catch you on the preview show tonight.
Thank you.
Here's Bob McKenzie, your TSN Hockey Insider. Get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine.
That was good.
Can neither confirm or deny that.
I just can't get enough of it.
That's
it
the greatest good. Drop in the history of radio.
Somebody just sent the, I don't know, I didn't see this, the Panthers logo.
Yeah, it's good.
With a mustache on it.
It
That's
should be.
Amazing.
The stash, he is taking over South Beach.
By the way, the ponies are massive down there.
The dog track's pretty popular, too.
Oh, the dog track. I played golf with a buddy who would have one beer after golf. End of the track, fellas.
Yeah.
The dog track.
I love it. Q with a big win, and he just dances, like moonwalking right to the
right
track.
There.
I can't wait to hear stories coming out of South Beach.
I love it.
We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. The Jays actually beat Boston at Fenway today. The Red Sox are in trouble. Chris Sale got lit up again. So we'll touch on that, too. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NBA board tonight, the teams that are playing for something, I'm betting on them tonight. I'm on Charlotte big in Cleveland, Detroit big at home against Memphis, and Chicago and New York are both awful. Two of the worst teams in the league. It's a tank fest for both, so I will lean towards the home team. I'm on the Bulls tonight. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. The Blue Jays actually won down at Fenway today.
You think the Red Sox are kind of like, all right, guys, joke's over. They got to be.
They're 3-9, and Chris Sale has a 9 ERA. Chris Sale went 4 innings, gave up 7 hits, 5 earned. He only struck out 3 batters.
And he just cashed in, did he not?
Monster deal. Like a 5-year, $150 million extension. He's lost velocity on his fastball.
And Cora came out and said, oh, you had an upset stomach. He just kind of, I was like.
No, that's not it.
No, yeah, that's
not it. It's not boileritis, man. This guy's got problems. Like, the Blue Jays, they're breaking records in terms of just anemic plate appearances. Like, they just struck out in a four-game series 13-plus times all four games. That's only happened 4 times in the history of Major League Baseball. You would think Sox coming home, home opener, bad start, Sale on the mound, that would have been
a layup.
And the Blue Jays, to their credit, went out there and they generated some offense. I mean, 7 runs for them is incredible.
It is.
But. And the Shoemaker, I mean, he was hot again today. He's got a .92 ERA. 3-0 on the season.
Matt Shoemaker. He's not the problem there.
Grizzled vet. I mean, keep doing it and then trade him at the deadline. That's the move. But something's going on there with the Sox. I mean, that is, you talk about full-blown panic. They will be freaking out in Boston. Freaking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they put, from pillar to post last year, they were the best team in the league. 108 wins, I think it was. They barely lost in the playoffs. The expectation was they'll do it again, and they might. Yeah. It's still April.
And they're one of those teams, if they do miss this year, they'll come back next year and win the World Series.
Of course they will. They'll they'll spend $400 million in the offseason.
They'll
come right back.
Got nothing but cash to work with.
No. Raptors in action tonight. It sounds like Serge Ibaka and Kyle Lowry will not play. So load management for those two. But I think Kawhi's going. And when someone sent this tweet in asking us, there's a chance this will be the last regular season game for Kawhi Leonard as a Raptor. There's a chance. You know, he's going to play a real game in 4 days in the playoffs or whatever. Right. But
if he's an integral part of taking that team to the finals, I really don't care if he plays here again. Obviously, it would be nice, but that would be something to see.
You just want finals and
Kawhi, if you're going to be one and done in this city, at least make it worth everyone's while.
Is it 100% lock that Golden State's going there? Like just,
I think so. I mean,
marching their way through.
Houston,
There's maybe a team that's been complacent.
They had their chance last year, dude.
Yeah, they were
going home up 3-2, and they couldn't close the deal.
Yeah.
That was their chance.
Yeah. I don't see how Golden State. I don't see how they don't make the NBA Finals.
I don't see how they had their shot a couple years ago. Did they not? Weren't they going home?
They were up 3-2 as well, I believe. Yeah. That was Kevin Durant was still on that team.
They might have been up 3-1.
I think they were up 3-1. They were up 3-1, and after that, that's when Durant, you know, walked across the aisle and said, "Forget it, I can't beat them, so I'm going to join them." I think they were up 3-1.
That's scary, man.
But you know, the Warriors have been up against it. You know, it's been easy a lot of different times, but there have been down 3-2 going back to Houston. They came back and won that series.
A little bit of adversity.
There's been some adversity. I mean, they're that good. You got to hope for internal meltdowns. You got to hope that Durant's leaving. Draymond Green is causing problems. Yeah, Klay Thompson's going to leave.
That's what it is. You're not even. It's not even the other team they're playing. It's just that they beat themselves somehow, or an injury, or multiple injuries.
It's got to be multiple injuries, really.
To
level the playing field, you need multiple injuries.
Not going to happen.
No, I don't think
so. Can't bank on that either.
So yeah, I mean, safe money is clearly on Golden State. Clearly, but. You know, if the Raptors can make the NBA Finals, it would be the greatest season in the history of the franchise, regardless of what happens.
You've got a lot riding on it because those bets you made in Vegas.
No, I don't have any NBA futures.
Nothing.
No, I didn't touch it because the money's on Golden State, but you've got to pay so much juice to bet them to win.
I thought you would have taken something, $50 on the Raptors.
I was looking at that, but they were getting even odds. They had the best odds in the East to make it out. So you weren't getting any plus money.
It wasn't worth it.
No. But listen, tonight, final regular season game, no Kyle, no Serge. Kawhi, we believe, will go. I can't imagine he's going to play a ton of minutes. Just avoid injury and you're good. And then tomorrow we're in here. We got Jerry's percentages at 5:30. We're going to know who won the NHL draft lottery tonight. And the NHL playoffs kicking
off tomorrow.
Who's calling
it? What do you got for the lottery?
Edmonton Oilers.
It can't be.
No, I don't.
Dude, think it's the Edmonton Oilers.
No. I think it's going to be something.
I say Buffalo or Vancouver.
I think Detroit's going to have a shot.
Yeah.
Detroit's right in there. All anyway, right. We'll know tomorrow.
We're going to cover everything at
4 p.m.
Well, I can neither confirm or deny that.
Join us.